Welcome to your new day.
This is Early Breakfast with Africa Milani.
It's 4:49 this Wednesday morning, the 15th of September. This week, of course, is National Wills Week, rather. Every year, the Law Society of South Africa promotes a National Wills Week, where they encourage law firms to offer free will drafting in an effort to raise awareness around the importance of wills. There's an inconceivable statistic that more than 75% of South Africans pass away without a valid will in place. Join me on the line now is a certified financial planner, Gerald Mwandia Ambira. Gerald, lovely to chat to you again. It's been a while. This is a legal matter, but it certainly has financial implications, does it not? Because if I have amassed all this wealth and I have not left behind instructions as to how it should be distributed when I pass away, I might end up having a Gerald getting 50 rand from my estate when I did not intend for him to receive it.
Well, yes, indeed. I think, you know, the will is not really about wealth. It's just about you passing on a legacy. So you should have a will regardless of whether you have assets or not, simply because if you have children, you still need to give an instruction as to their care and maintenance. So one of the reasons the National Wills Week is so that we move away from this mindset that a will is only for someone who has something or wealth. But rather use the will more as an instructions manual or a set of instructions in the event of you passing away, because even your debts need to be dealt with accordingly. So you need to instruct those who remain behind as to how to deal with your affairs.
Really? I mean, if I don't have property or cars or shares or anything of that nature to distribute after I've passed away, you would strongly encourage that people still draft a will anyway?
You need to have a will if you have a child, at the very least. Obviously, if you're saying in your entire existence there's nothing in your name, then that's a different scenario. But let's start with just the instruction for the children's care. Because if you do not leave instructions for your children's care, it can be detrimental to their future. And remember, in the case of a husband and wife, you still both need to have a will, because sometimes, you know, God forbid, you have a situation where both parents are lost in a single event. You need to still have a direction as to who will take care of your children. So a lot of couples think, no, if I go, my spouse will remain. But they actually overlook the fact that it could happen at the same time. And often it does happen, you know, even with COVID, we've seen a lot of couples succumbing to illness. So children is the number one reason you should have a will. Obviously, distribution of assets is also very important in terms of leaving that set of instructions to take care of your estate.
What advice do you give to your clients when it comes to financial planning for their estate, I suppose? I have a 7-year-old nephew, for example, who I have established a trust for, and I put some money away regularly so that should anything happen to me, his portion of my estate will then go into that estate, I mean, to the trust, in order for his education needs primarily to be taken care of. That's something I've taken care of because education is important to me. So that is a financial decision that I've made. I imagine you advise your clients similarly?
Well, definitely. If you're dealing with children, children need to be cared for. If your income is not available, you need to leave a set of instructions as to how they'll be taken care of. One way of doing it is, as you said, setting up a trust, or you could take out a life policy in which the child is a beneficiary, or you could have a pension or provident fund which, in the event of your death, goes to take care of your children. But I think young lives deserve to be taken care of by those who brought them into this world, or those who have taken a responsibility for their care, like you have done. So that's number one. Number two is also, you know, you'd also need a will sometimes for things you have received. So you could have received an inheritance, but when you pass on, there needs to be direction as to who next should benefit from it, or should be in charge, should look after those affairs. So a will is a very important document which we all should have lodged and update regularly, because also life happens, marriages end or marriages begin. But I think it's a good cornerstone and foundation document for your life financial planning, because in drafting your will, you can immediately see the areas in your life where there's deficiencies in terms of being able to bequeath or leave an inheritance for those that follow you. And also remember, when you die, there's a number of other issues you need to deal with, such as estate duty, your taxes, you know, and all your debts. So still a will is required to take care of those affairs.
Let me ask an indelicate question for a moment. I know of one person who's had a very blatant discussion with their parent that the only way they'll be able to buy the property that they want to buy in the area that they want to buy is when they get the inheritance for them from their parent, right? And they're very clear about this. And I have asked the question in return. So why don't you just get the money from your parent now so that you can buy the house now, as opposed to waiting anything between, I don't know, a couple of months and a number of years before you're able to buy into that property? It is an indelicate question, I know.
Well, essentially, I think, you know, your friend should take it for granted that the inheritance is guaranteed for them. You know, there have been instances where parents leave their wealth to a trust or to even donate it to charity as opposed to children, because of behavior or because of family challenges. So one, I would say to your friend, it's not guaranteed that this inheritance is destined for you. And secondly, you know, death in most cultures is, as you said, a very taboo topic to discuss. But yes, he is having that open discussion with his parents to say, why should I wait to die to enjoy the life I want to live? But the parents will ask themselves, is this the person we wanted to raise who is going to depend on us dying? You know, but let's call a spade. In many families, generational wealth or intergenerational wealth is how they have functioned and how they continue to benefit. I mean, there are families which survive on inheritances, where children are born into what they call a usufruct, use of assets which they've never bought, which they'll never have to pay for, and they just enjoy. I think that is where we need to be planning ourselves to see our families in 3 or 4 generations, where people actually are born to make choices as to what they want to do with life, but money is not an object.
Or do as I do and warn my brothers that the only amount of money I'll leave behind for them is enough for them to bury me and nothing else, and have them squirm in that process. Gerald, thank you very much. It's lovely to chat to you again. Gerald Mwandi Ambira is a certified financial planner. This week, of course, the Law Society of South Africa is promoting National Wills Week, where they're encouraging a number of law firms across the country, and I'm sure there'll be one in your city, to offer free will drafting in an effort to raise awareness around the importance of wills. 75% of South Africans pass away without a valid will in place, and there are complications once you've passed away without a will.